back home with grandparents, and she likes to get a lot of the attention that comes from being the only one with grandma and grandpa. So she's there and she's happy, and we're here and we're happy. So everybody's good. But amen, it's a joy to be in camp meeting. Amen. Appreciate the presence of the Lord, and was here first time a few years ago, and have been trying to get back, and we're just honored to be here this year, and appreciate your pastor, love Brother and Sister Gabbard so very much, and I believe it was 90 or 91, I believe, the first time when I heard him preach there at Jack Sanders Church in Joplin, Missouri, and just have admired his ministry and his integrity and influence since then. Amen. And so what an influence he has been to churches all over the country. Amen. We're blessed to have men like that. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. And appreciate Brother Height and his ministry. As I was coming along as a teenager and in my early days of ministry, Brother Height was a great friend to me, a great encouragement. And I've heard him preach so many times, and just powerful altar services as he drew people to the presence of God. Amen. And so just a joy to be in camp meeting with him and Brother Sutherland last night, a message that's so needful for our hour. Amen. Just not just a promise of revival, but there's a price to pay for revival. Amen. So, amen. It's a joy for us to be here. And I know lunch is at 1 o'clock, and it's a little after 12:30. So I was in radio for 3 years when I was a teenager, and I had the duty of Saturday sometimes when the preachers would come into the studio and do their live broadcast. I had the unfortunate duty of telling them 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, and then they would, you know, feeling so good, I don't think I'm going to be able to shut it down. And I was 17 years old and 2 minutes and 1 minute, and finally I had to flip that switch and that little red light come on and the green light was gone, and they knew they weren't on the air, and it just kind of zapped the spirit pretty quick, and they did shut it down. So I'm not gonna wear you out this morning, this afternoon. Land and get your mom's phone and tell me when it gets to be about 12:50 or 55. Jump up, and I'll know it's either the spirit of the Lord or it's time to quit. So, amen. Take your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Appreciate your hospitality. Everywhere we go, everybody talks about the Bond Camp meeting, and you know that, and you've heard it so often, but that's more than words. We just appreciate your kindness and hospitality so very much. God bless you for that, and as Brother Gabbard said, Brother Don Ingram has his minister's meeting in January, so when you're going by to get one of those half-off books today, pick up a flyer, and they're on Brother Don's table, so get one of those half-off books, and amen. Stand with me as we get into the word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 22. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 22. As you're turning there again, the Davises are from our church. They're here, and these are the perfect church members. They travel 6 months out of the year going to camp meetings, but they pay 100% of their tithes back to the church. So, amen. The Davises and Brother Flanders, he's turning 97 next week. He's the oldest man in the church, so he's 97 years old. But good to see the Davises again. 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, God said, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Amen. May the Lord bless you as you're seated today in the presence of the Lord. One verse of Scripture, but two very different pictures that Paul paints for us. Obviously, he goes back to the first days and talks about the days of Adam, the first days of creation. But then he also brings us up to where you and I are living. And so we are in Christ and we have been made alive. He talks about living in Eden, living in Adam's world, or living in the last days, or living in this world with Christ. I don't have time to go to Matthew 24, but what a powerful message last night. And some of those words from Matthew chapter number 24 describe our day so aptly, that you and I are living in that world of political upheaval and all the nations that were mentioned last night. We are We are certainly on the brink of the coming of the Lord. You and I, all of us agree. All of us agree that we are in those last days of financial strain that Matthew talks about. But, you know, Jesus told us two things in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Don't be deceived and don't be troubled. Don't be deceived and don't be troubled. And so we might live in a troubled world, but John 14:1, how many knows God's word said, let not your heart be troubled. Amen. We might be troubled in the world, but as a believer in Christ, we can have an untroubled heart. You know, we're not, as we prepare for the coming of the Lord, there are some things that probably are never going to be again. You know, as a nation, we may be in uncharted waters. And you know the homosexual agenda that's being pushed, promoted, and accepted in Romans 1 and all of that darkness that is invading our land. We are living in a different world than it was the world in which I was a child. It's a different country, and we may never go back to the way it was when I was a boy. But you know, sometimes you hear people talk as if, you know, well, I'd like to go all the way back to the beginning. I'd like to go back to Adam's world. I'd like to go back when everything was peaceful. So if the Lord would help me today, I'd just like to take these two pictures from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 22 and talk about Adam's world for a couple of minutes and talk about the world that you and I live in. And I'll tell you at the outset of this message, I'd rather be living right now at the brink of the coming of the Lord than going all the way back to the beginning of time and living in Adam's world. Amen. I really would. Amen. I know Adam was privileged to talk to God, and I know Adam walked with God in the cool of the evening, and God did some marvelous things in the first wedding ceremony, and man, what a privilege it was to be in that early stage of creation. But friend, I'm going to tell you, as the people of God living in the last days, amen, I believe we're on the brink of the greatest event that has ever been known to man. Amen. I do believe in that rapture. Amen. There, you may believe in the catching away, but the word rapture doesn't bother me. Matter of fact, I'm so pre-trib that I don't like eating post cereal. Amen. I'm listening for the sounding of the coming of the Lord. I'm ready to see Jesus. What about you? Amen. When we go back into Adam's world, we understand this, that Adam was placed in a world in the Garden of Eden, but what we are not told is he has a chance to lose that. He has a chance to be expelled, and you and I are surprised at that event. There he was, placed in the early pages of creation in the Garden of Eden, but yet we understand and we're told and we learn that he has a chance to be expelled. But can I tell you in our world that you and I are living in, we were not born in the favor of God. Amen. We were not born in the commonwealth of Christianity. We were not born with the favor of God upon our lives, but rather Paul told the Ephesians that we were aliens, that we were strangers, that we were afar off. We were not like Adam, born in the favor of God with a chance to lose it, but rather we were born on the outside of the favor of God, but with a chance to get into the favor of God. Amen. What a blessed opportunity that the gospel can be preached to you and I. Amen. Oh yes, friend, I'm glad I got in. Amen. Aren't you glad to be washed in the blood of Jesus today? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Adam was born with pure blood, with sinless blood. He was not born with that fallen nature, but yet he was born as the created of God, as God birthed into his life and created that living soul. He was not born with that Adamic nature, nor that tendency or proclivity to sin. But friend, you and I were born steeped in sin. Amen. Tainted blood flowed through our veins as children of fallen parents. But oh, thank God somebody preached the gospel message. Amen. Thank God somebody told me about a God that can give you a blood transfusion. Amen. That even though you've got blood that's tainted with sin, you can come and reason with God, saith the Lord. And though your sins be as scarlet, amen, they can be washed white as wool. Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That can wash away our sins. I said, I'd rather be living right now. I'd rather be living right here on the brink of the coming of the Lord. I'd rather be washed
washed in the blood of Jesus, sanctified, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, ready to see Jesus in the clouds of glory, than I would to go back to the beginning of time. Amen. God put Adam in Eden, and he put him there to live forever. Amen. He had no funeral plans. He put Adam in Eden, and he intended for him to live forever. But because sin entered the world, Adam moved from life to death, and the death sentence passed upon all of us. And you and I know that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. That's not the fault of God. That's the fall of sin. I said that's not blaming God. Amen. That's the hand of Satan and his handiwork. But can I tell you, friend, as Adam moved from life to death, and death entered this world, when I came to that altar and I gave my life to Jesus, amen, I moved from death to life. Amen. I believe I'm going to live on forever in the glory world. I believe you and I've got a promise today that we're going to see Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Like the old preacher said, when they say I'm dead and they carry me out to the grave, amen, I want you to know I'll be more alive then than I've ever been in my life. Anybody glad for the coming of the Lord? Anybody ready to hear that trumpet sound? Oh, great, glad getting up moaning. Amen. When mortality shall put on immortality. When corruption shall put on incorruption. Amen. When shall be brought to pass the saying, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? It wasn't fairy tale. Amen. When Jesus looked into the eyes of weeping sisters at Lazarus's tomb and said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. And in Revelation, John recorded, it is he that was dead. I said he died, and they placed him in a borrowed tomb. But Jesus thundered in his Revelation writing and said, but he's alive forevermore, and he's got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Anybody glad this morning for that hope? I said, oh, thank God for that hope. I've got a grandfather. Amen, Brother Benny, pastors my grandmother. Amen. She's a precious saint of God. But a few years ago, we buried my grandfather. He was a great man, a World War II veteran. I'm going to see him again. I said, I'm going to see him again. Good friend of mine, Brother Jeff Hensley, he preached his mother's funeral this morning. I can't imagine the grief in a man's heart as he preaches his very own mother's funeral. But coming up the road yesterday, we got to talking about where she's at. I just got to believe somehow that while he was preaching his mother's funeral, the comforting Spirit of God, amen, began to assure him, amen, your mother is in the presence of God. For to be absent in body is to be present with the Lord. How many got a loved one you're going to see? Amen. How many got a mother, father, brother, sister? Oh, hallelujah. What a glad getting up morning. Fare ye well. Fare ye well. Amen. When God put Adam and Eve in Eden after the transgression, your Bible records that he had to kill an animal. Amen. To clothe Eve, and he had to clothe Adam. He killed an animal. He began to tell us that it's going to be through the shed blood. It's going to be the shedding of blood for the atonement of sin. We know the fulfillment is in the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But Adam was clothed in the skins of an animal. But you and I who were steeped in sin, amen, you and I who were going to hell, today we're not clothed in the skins of an animal. but we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I said we're cleansed, amen, by the blood of Jesus. It was the blood of an animal, amen, that moved Adam's transgression forward, amen. But you and I this morning, the transgression was not moved forward, the penalty was not delayed, but when Christ died on Calvary, and the blood was shed, and he said it is finished, and the veil was rent, hey friend, payment was made. I said payment was executed. I said it was done. It was abolished. Amen. I've been forgiven. I said I've been justified. I've been cleansed by the power of the blood of Jesus. No wonder we sing, what can wash away my sins? I said it's nothing. I said it's nothing. It was pure blood. It was spotless blood. It was sinless blood. It was divine blood. It was God's blood. Oh, friend, hear me today. You and I are here, but by the blood of Jesus. I said, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. It's the blood that reaches to the lowest valley. It's the blood that reaches to the highest hill. It's the blood that'll never lose its power. Amen. Sing about it. Preach about it. Write about it. Oh, shout about the blood. It's the blood. It's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Why don't you give God a good praise this morning? Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. One of the governors in charge of the late 1800s was General J.B. Gordon. He was a general during the Civil War. He was shot 7 times. He had 7 scars in his face. Later on, as he began to run for Senate, the deciding vote for the Senate was going to be Colonel Smith, a man who J.B. Gordon had personally picked up off the battlefield and helped to safety. Colonel Smith was going to give the deciding vote whether or not J.B. Gordon would win the Senate seat or not. Colonel Smith became displeased with J.B. Gordon after the war because of some of his Reconstructionist views. And he disagreed with him politically. And so he was going to vote against J.B. Gordon. He filled out his ballot. He took it to the front to cast his ballot. And there J.B. Gordon stood with not 1, 2, 3, but 7 scars in his face. Knowing that it was J.B. Gordon who had helped him off the battlefield, historians record that he ripped up his ballot and he filled out another ballot in favor of J.B. Gordon, recording these words, I cannot vote against the scars. I cannot vote against the scars. The world doesn't think much of Jesus. I understand. They don't think much of Jesus. But when I look this morning yonder glory, and I see the hands, when I see the nail prints, when I see his head, when I see his side, when I see his feet, I say this morning, nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. I said he's got scars. They're for you and for me. It's the blood this morning. I said it's the blood this afternoon. Amen. When God put Adam in Eden, amen, God understood, amen, that Adam was going to transgress. Amen. But he shed that innocent animal that the blood might atone for him. Amen. One thing about the Garden of Eden, and you must understand, is this. Can you imagine living in a world where you only got one chance? Can you imagine living in a world where you sin one time and it was over? In Adam's world, one time and you're out. One time and you're done. But in Christ's world, I said in Christ's world, amen, I'm not a proponent of living a life of sin. But my God, this afternoon, Ephesians 1 and 7 says that we have forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I've had to come back to Calvary. I've had to come back to Jesus and say, wash me in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Landon, is it 1250 or 55? Are you just standing to help me? I got a son helping me. All right. Then do something different when it gets to 1250. Amen. When God kicked Adam out of Eden, can you imagine Adam's days, his best days, his past, it haunted him. Can you imagine packing up your family that you've walked with God in the cool of the day in the evening? Can you imagine walking in favor with God and naming the animal kingdom? Can you imagine God performing surgery and making your wife from a rib in your side and having unhindered fellowship with God? But disobeying. Oh, did he preach this morning about obeying the word of God? Amen. Adam disobeyed God's word. And God said, I'm expelling you. And when God expelled him from the garden, he put that angel at God and said, you're not coming back. Amen. Adam's best days were behind him. But all as the church of Jesus Christ, amen, our best days are not behind us, but our best days are yet to come. I said we live in a fallen world. We live in a wicked world. Amen. We live with sin on every hand. But can you imagine if that trumpet would sound this morning? Amen. Can you imagine if that trumpet would sound today and we leave this world and we rise to meet him in the air? Oh, glad getting up morning. Amen. I can't tell you how many times in the night I woke up last night and thinking, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. It means I got to get busy. I've got to win some souls. But I tell you what else it means. It means hold on. I said get ready. I said get ready. Quit now. No, sir. Give up at the 11th hour. No, sir. I said I'm going to keep shouting. I said I'm going to keep preaching. I mean, somebody get ready. I said Jesus is coming. It might be in the morning and it might be at noon, but Brother Snow, I know that I know that I know that I know that Jesus, that Jesus is coming soon. Adam's past, it haunted him. It haunted him. But I'd rather be living right now. I said I'd rather be living right now. Because all of us have a past here today. I said we've all got a past. But it's under the blood. Anybody glad your past is under the blood? Hallelujah. I said it's under the blood. I said it's under the blood. I'd rather be living here right now on the brink of the coming of the Lord, Brother Darren. I'd rather be here right now. Amen, Brother Jeff. Adam left in shame. Amen. He left his world in shame. You and I are not going out of here downhearted. You and I are not leaving this world discouraged. You and I are not leaving be down and defeated, but we're leaving in glory. I said we're going to leave in glory. Matter of fact, I can tell you how we're going to leave. This is our exodus. This is how we're getting out of here. Amen. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Amen. Are you ready? This is the way we're leaving. We're not leaving downhearted. We're not leaving discouraged. We're not leaving sick and wounded. For the Lord himself. I said for the Lord himself. Not Gabriel. Not Michael. Not a host of angels. But the Lord himself. I said the Lord of glory. He who is greater than death. He who is greater than sickness. He who is greater. I said for the Lord himself. He shall. Oh my God. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up. We're going to be caught up.
caught up. We're going to be caught up. And we're going to meet them. We're going to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, give Him praise right now. I said give Him praise right now. Oh, come on, we can do better than that. Turn and tell somebody we're getting ready to leave this place. We're getting ready to leave this world. We're leaving in glory. I said we're leaving in glory. We're leaving in jubilation. We're leaving in camp meeting. We're leaving in rejoicing. You might have trial now. You might have sickness now. You might have heartache now. But it's almost over. I said one more river to cross. One more valley. One more mountain. I said get ready. I said get ready. Get ready. We're going to leave. We're going to leave this world. Woo! In the moment, in the twinkling, I don't know who they is, but they say the eye twinkles 20 times a second. I don't know who they is, but that's what they say. 20 times in a second. 1/20th of a second. You ain't gonna have time to go home and get your house in order. You ain't gonna have time to go home and get rid of the movies and TV. You ain't gonna have time to dump the cache files on your internet. You ain't gonna have time. You ain't gonna have time. I said it's over. I said it's over. I said it's over. That's why you gotta get right. They preach when I was coming along, get right and stay right. Get right and stay right. That's the way I preach it. Get right and stay right. Can I tell you one more thing about Adam's world that's different than our world? Amen. Adam could not go back. He could not go home. But I don't know if there's a prodigal in this service. But I'm going to tell you something. In Christ's world, prodigals can come back home. I said prodigals can come back home. Amen. Look at the father. Who's that coming up the road? That's your baby boy. That's the son. Amen. He was dead, but he's alive. Have a celebration. I said he's coming home. Hey, prodigal, if you're here today, run to the altar. Run to the altar. Run to the altar and say, thank God I can come home. Oh, come on, lift your hands. Give God praise.
Hallelujah. Ah, go ahead and praise Him, would you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen.